Today we are celebrating the Epiphany. The name means manifestation, being shown forth. And today we're celebrating him being shown forth to the wise men, and during the next few Sundays in the Epiphany season, through his baptism, through the calling of his first disciples. Of course, if we lived in any other country that surrounds the Czech Republic, we'd have a holiday on Tuesday and be able to celebrate Epiphany properly. Public holiday in Poland, in Freistadt Bayern, the Free State of Bavaria, in Austria, and in Slovakia, but not in the agnostic Czech Republic. So we have to do it on this Sunday. So we celebrate the visit of the wise men. But why? This today 10 days, normally 12 days after the birth of Christmas Day. Well, it is the tradition that the wise men came later, and usually celebrated 12 days later. And it comes to draw it a bit from the Gospel reading. The question the wise men ask in Jerusalem is, where is the king who has been born, king of the Jews? The birth has already happened. And notice when they arrive in Bethlehem, it's on entering the house. There's no mention of a stable, cave, or place with a manger, an animal feeding trough. So it's usually understood that the wise men came later and traditionally 12 days. But who were these wise men? Well, Matthew, the Gospel writer, records them as magi, traditionally translated in English as wise men. The name magi was a caste of priestly kind from ancient caste with priestly kind from Persia. And here, of course, they are described as coming from the east. Notice the capital E for the east in the text. But of course, there is no mention of them being kings. You can blame that on one of the church fathers, Tertullian. He first called them kings. And there weren't necessarily three of them either, just that they were in the plural, wise men. And the names which are often attached to them, of Caspar, Balthazar and Melchior, they date from the 8th century, that you'll still see K, B and M over 15 doorways, marked in chalk over the next, well, probably on Tuesday evening. Fascinating story, the visit of the wise men, not least because of the gospel in which we find it. It's only recorded in Matthew's gospel, as I just read to you. There is no reference anywhere else in scripture to the visit. And as any of you who know your gospel reasonably well will know that Matthew is the most Jewish of all the gospels, written by a Jew for Jews or Jewish converts to Christianity. You will notice there is an explanation of Jewish washing and cleansing rituals, which you get not possible, and more Gentiles, but not in Matthew. Jewish readers would already understand such things. Yet it is Matthew who records a visit by Gentile travelers, not Jews, who seek to find the newborn king of the Jews, and show clear recognition as to who he is by the nature of their gifts. So why does Matthew record the story? Well, certainly Matthew was always very interested in seeing Jesus as fulfilling Old Testament prophecies. And he no doubt saw their visit as a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 60, for which we had the opening verses read as our first reading this morning. God revealed to the nations, who come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn, which is where the idea of kings direct came in. And certainly it is the message Matthew wanted to convey right at the beginning of his gospel in the second chapter, that the gospel is for Gentiles and not just for Jews. It's the message, of course, of Paul in that reading from Ephesians as well. So, that's my words of explanation, which a sermon should do. Now my words of application, which I think also will be part of the sermon. How do we apply what we've read and heard to our lives in the coming week? Well, I first of all want to reiterate a message that I often give on Christmas Day about not leaving Jesus lying in the manger. The baby Jesus is a very comfortable picture to look at and see. But of course, the baby doesn't remain a baby. Some of you will know I became a grandfather for the first time last September. I'm getting pictures posted by Facebook, how else, of my grandson, and he's growing up, he's getting bigger. Babies do. So the baby born lying in the manger is a saviour who is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. Before, by the time he was the age of 12, he knew that he must be in his father's house, as we will know from that reading at the end of Luke's book. The wise men recognized who the baby was and who he would grow up to be. Our final hymn this morning is Bethlehem, the opening, because the earth has been in a noble city, if it's the right title of it. There are slightly different opening words to the carol. And one of the verses that you will sing in the last hymn or carol is sacred gifts of mystic meaning. Incense doth their God disclose. Gold the King of Kings proclaimeth. Myrrh his sepulchre foreshows. I intuitively understood that the incense, frankincense, was burnt in worship, recognizing his divinity. Gold was for a king, the King of Kings, and myrrh speaks of the death of his sepulchre, of the king laid in the tomb. Don't leave Jesus as the baby, the comfortable baby in the manger. Recognize him as who he is, that he is God, that he is King, but we're born to die and born to save us. Recognize who the infant is, don't leave him in the manger. Secondly, words from the Gospel again, on entering the house, they saw the child, and they knelt down and paid him homage. In other words, they worshipped him. I want to commend to you, in one sense, you don't need it because you're here, but to commend to you the wise men's example at the beginning of this new year. I do recognize the effort that some of you put in to come to worship here, from all across Prague and from further afield, as well as visitors who come looking for us on our website usually and find your way to the right of St. Clement's Church and come and worship with us as well. I have to say it is a vast improvement on where I used to serve in England, where I served what in Anglican terms we call a rural multi-parish benefice, where I had people who lived in one village who wouldn't travel 2 miles to the church in the next village when there wasn't a service in their village. Now, no, they couldn't do that. That would travel far further to go to Tesco, regardless. But thank you all those of you who do take the trouble to travel. But I do still hear every imaginable excuse for not being at worship. Why I can't be there this Sunday. So the question I would ask, is God central into your life? And if the answer is yes, place his worship at the centre of your plans for each weekend and pick everything else you have to do, need to do, think you need to do, probably don't need to do, all around attending worship, rather than as what I think happens, seeing if worship fits in after you've organised doing everything else. Way round you work your weekends, I challenge you. Yes, over the next couple of months, even as this morning, you will notice that it's a little bit cold in here. Wearably hats are fine, gloves are fine, fit tights under your jeans, etc., trousers are fine. But come to worship. Think of the example of the wise men, who had a very long journey, and there wasn't any public transport, almost certainly experienced bad weather, arrived at what they thought would be the right place, and found it was the wrong place. They were in Jerusalem, not in Bethlehem, but didn't give up. No. They kept going until they found the newborn king and worshipped him. I commend the example of the wise men to you on this first Sunday of 2015. Thirdly, and finally, if any of the sermon has 3 points, getting the message across, as my note says here. Epiphany reminds us about Jesus Christ being made manifest, shown forth. Those of us who call ourselves Christians, his followers, have a responsibility to do this, to show who Jesus is, and encourage a response to him. It doesn't always need a lot of words to pass on the message of Jesus. A good example of in your own life. And maybe some pithy punchlines and saying to get people talking can be a very easy way to get the message across. The younger of my two sisters, the unmarried one, is actually now a retired Baptist minister. We're an interesting family in that respect. And she has a sticker that she usually puts on the back of her car each year, which says, "A Happy Christmas. Dash starts with Jesus." I like the pithy message because he can get people talking. And moving forward now, as we have reached the Epiphany, bumper sticker that I've seen on several occasions, and the wording of which I would like to commend to you this morning and leave with you, says this: "Wise men sought Jesus." Wise men and women still do. In the name of God, who is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.